Did you know you could sponsor Nerd and Ty? That's right. For just $20, you could sponsor an episode. We'd read your name here. We'd talk about how great you are as a human being. We'd praise you, dance on your grave when you're dead. No, not that last part. We would talk about us. All you have to do is go to nerdandty.com and click on sponsorship info stuff on the right or on the top bar or anywhere it says sponsor. If you're not sure how to read, we cannot help you with that or take the money into your conscience. And we're not going to do video this episode because we lost our connection.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. This is Nerd and Ty Live.
Have a mic.
No Brand Con is moving to the Wisconsin Dells. Iceman is canonically gay. And there's a Galaxy Quest TV show in the works. This is Nerd Attire.
Oh, dear Lord.
That was rough. Oh.
Yeah, we lost video like right out the bat.
Oh, so. That's bad. Oh.
We're gonna give.
Are we gonna try that again? Or are we gonna just keep going? Trey?
We're just gonna keep going.
Oh, folks, welcome to Nerd and Ty Live here at No Brand Con. Jesus, that was loud.
There are still 15 times as many people as I thought there
right?
would be.
Right, there's a lot. Oh, this is great. There are 3,000 of you here. Don't look behind you. 3,000 people here. Oh my God, guys, we're together again. I can touch you right now.
I love it.
I am, as always, Professor Fur, and with me are Trey Dorn.
I do exist. I am wearing pants that can be confirmed by a room full of people. Even if there is no video to show you this episode.
I got Trey Dorn's on the right of me. Nick Izumi's to my left.
Douse yourselves in water and repent.
And here I am, who's stuck in the middle with you.
Now, this is a very special episode.
This is a special episode.
Because we are breaking our fortnightly thing and doing a regular episode only a week after a previous one.
But there's a good reason for it.
There's a good reason for it, because we're here at No Brand Con. We're doing it live. We've got a lot to talk about.
And next weekend, when we would normally be doing an episode, we're doing something else.
We're doing an Avengers Age of Ultron episode.
And if it comes together the way I want it to, it may be the biggest special episode we've ever done.
Yep.
We're trying. I'm definitely gonna be there. I'm going to, like, I work at 7 a.m. on Sunday, but I'm literally going to be at Age of Ultron. No matter what happens, I'm going to be there on Saturday night.
Stop hitting the table.
I'm doing it anyway, Trey.
For those at home who may not be aware, Fur's been drinking a little bit before this. Because
one out of three podcast hosts drink. What can I say? Like, that's
it's also that most of the time when we record the show, we do it on a Sunday evening, like around dinner time. So it's, you know, but we're doing this at 10:30 at night on a Friday night.
How can I not be drunk? That's the question.
This is the
Friday in Wisconsin.
Well, considering that two out of three of us aren't, I imagine it's possible.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nick. I love you, buddy. I hope that hero figurine goes on a shelf somewhere.
Don't worry, it will. For those of you who don't know, I got a cool toy. Anyway.
You got a cool toy. But man, we're here at No Brand Con this weekend.
Why is the drunk guy doing the intros?
That is an extra. I was thinking that.
Because
fate is, we take turns, because, and it's his turn.
Because fate is cruel. But no, we're here at No Brand Con in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. But as of 11 o'clock this morning, we will not be here at No Brand Con in Eau Claire, Wisconsin next year. Because No Brand Con in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Won't be in Eau Claire, Wisconsin? Is that how you're trying to get through that sentence? So, No Brand Con announced with very little ceremony this morning on the back cover of their program guide that starting next year, Wisconsin's longest running anime conventions will be moving from its longtime home of 14 years of Eau Claire, Wisconsin to the Wisconsin Dells 150 miles away.
And 2 hours approximately in travel time.
No Brand Con staff cited sources that... They cited sources. They are the source. Oh, according to Noah Branagh, the reason the move is because they've been reaching, closing in on their attendance cap. The 1,500 for the last several years, they were within 100 people of it last year. And with expected growth and record pre-registration this year, the current facility of the plaza in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, is not going to be able to hold the convention with its current rate of growth. And so the only option is either start turning people away, which they still might have to do on Saturday, although I don't know if we're uploading this until Sunday. So maybe they didn't.
They
maybe
might not, because there's a lot of empty parking spots out there tonight.
Yeah, but
a lot of people carpool, though.
Lot of people don't show up till Saturday.
That's true.
They are being careful with the count, I know, because they are counting the Friday badges separately, so they know on Saturday how to get an accurate number. Because they can do math. But because of the fact that the current facility can't hold it, and it is literally the largest available space in town that could hold the convention, they really don't have any choice but to move to a larger venue. And this is where we're going to have to disclose some crap. I'm Trey Dorn. I co-founded No Brand Con.
I was co-contractor for 2 years.
I went here when I was 14, and I haven't stopped going since. Does that count?
I'm just old. Nick does not have to disclose anything. But also, the Dell's contingency plan is not new.
No, it literally isn't. That has been actually weird fact, Trey. It's been a Dell's contingency plan. And a lacrosse contingency plan.
That's true.
For like 5 years. For 5 years, at least one person has come up to us every con and been like, so when are you moving to lacrosse?
I don't understand the lacrosse one because we voted that one down.
Every year we voted it down and people still think it's happening.
So, but let me, do you know when the first discussion, though, was on growing too big for Eau Claire? 2007.
I was going to say 29.
2007.
So I graduated in 2007.
And that is when the Kalahari Resort tried to get Nobrancon to move there.
Yeah. What con is going to thrive there?
I don't know.
Who would go to the Kalahari? Jesus. Nothing will ever work out there.
No.
That is.
I'm not active staff at Nobrancon. I haven't been. I'm advisory staff where I chime in and tell them things and then they ignore me.
They don't ask me to do anything anymore.
Well, you didn't name the convention.
That's true.
I might not have either, but none of us can remember. I was one of the four people in the room. It might have been me.
25% chance.
Well, the secret of the No Brand Con name is that it was a joke and not meant to be the name of the convention, and then we couldn't come up with anything better. But so
thanks, here's Greenwood.
But the Dell's plan was originally my plan, although I was not part of this year's decision to make the move, and I've been sitting on this news for a year.
A long time, really.
Yeah. But it's not my fault, so if you don't like it, don't get mad at me. I didn't do it.
I have never been on No Brand Con staff, so definitely don't get mad at me. I had nothing.
Send
to do.
All letters and hate mail to Nick Izumi at.
No.
But guys, there's a lot of. We posted this story at 11 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
A lot.
11:01.
11:01.
1 minute after.
A lot of feedback. Good, bad, indifferent.
There's 97 shares on Facebook.
It's incredible. A lot of people from the southern part of the state saying, yeah, this is a good idea.
Yeah, so 2016 is going to be an interesting year.
Tell me about it, man. The entire Wisconsin con scene is changing that year.
Well, okay, but April 2016 is going to be an interesting month because Wizard World Wisconsin, which this last year ran much earlier in the year, is moving to April.
Oh.
Anime Detour in the Twin Cities is moving to what is traditionally No Brand Con's weekend. No Brand Con is moving a week earlier and will be literally April's going to be Wizard World Wisconsin in Madison. The following weekend will be No Brand Con, and the following weekend after that will be Anime Detour. So, frankly, even if Nobran Khan hadn't moved, they probably would have lost the Twin Cities people anyway.
Actually, in that regard, the move might be better because they're gaining the Madison, Wisconsin scene.
Yeah, and the Wizard World doesn't cross over attendance-wise as much as...
Well, because you're paying $500 to meet somebody and get a picture with them and say hello. Let's be honest here. Well, that too.
Well, okay. Well, I love the fact that at a lot of those cons, you're not allowed to take photos of the stars.
Never. They see you taking a photo of, like, let's say David Tennant's at this convention. You take a picture of David Tennant. They're taking your camera and actually deleting that picture.
Yeah,
and saying move along unless you want to pay $500.
Yeah. So it's the No Brand Con move is
Wizard World is awful.
I mean, I've mostly heard positive reactions to the move to the Dells. People.
I'm good with it for what it's worth.
I have seen some people angry because
I'm going to play devil's advocate. Though.
Of course you are
because you're
a white man and that's what you do.
I'm going to play devil's advocate and let me tell you, males need no. I'm not going there. My God, no.
This isn't Calgary Expo.
This isn't Calgary Expo. But
those poor bastards.
There's a lot of people from Minneapolis that come to NoBrainCon.
Yeah, there are.
Right? There's probably I see a lot of faces in here I recognize. You're from the southern part of the state, so this is not going to hurt you.
Here, okay. Is anyone in this room from the Twin Cities?
We've got one.
One person. Is anyone in this room from Madison?
Ish.
The Madison area, so that means Milwaukee, Madison.
That's not okay. So Milwaukee is not part of Madison.
I was like, Milwaukee is not in the Madison.
I include it.
It's bigger.
I always drove through Madison on my way to Milwaukee. Yes. I'll include it. It took me 30 minutes.
I always drive through Chicago on my way to Lafayette, Indiana. It's
So greater clearly, Chicago area.
Clearly, since I drove through the Dells, then we're already in the Dells. That's just logic right there.
So, yeah, no, it's the move. Like, but I have heard some people who are angry. Like,
well, I understand it, Trey, because... Well,
actually, I was going to say, who here in this room is less likely to come to the convention if it's in the Dells than Eau Claire?
It might affect my face.
Yeah, it does affect some
You're
people.
Moving to Pennsylvania, that doesn't count.
Dear Lord.
The Dells is closer to Pennsylvania than Eau Claire is. So
it is further away from a real airport.
That's true. Pittsburgh specifically, isn't it?
The Dells is further away from a real airport than Eau Claire. Yes, guy who looks like Dan Harmon's GM.
It's not so much the travel distance, that's okay, it's significantly more expensive than Dells.
Well, okay, so
and that's my point too. Who wants to go to the Dells twice a year?
I will say. I talked with Andrew Hiss, the CoCon director this year, and according to him, the room rate for a regular hotel room at the Chula Vista will be the same for attendees as a room at the Plaza, the current home. Okay, well, I mean, because... Yeah!
Fast food is still there, though.
It is. Yeah, and it is... Technically, the fast food's more expensive, but... But you have to remember, this is still April. This is still the off-season. The tourist stuff isn't live. I mean, honest to God, this is why places like the Chula Vista and the Kalahari have tried to court conventions like NoBrainCon or in Kalahari DaishoCon... And previously trying to get us NoBrainCon, but currently has DaishoCon because DaishoCon's in November, NoBrainCon's in April, and these are both in the off season. These are times when they are not filling those rooms. So, and it's true. Some of the food's going to be a little more expensive, but it's going to be fast food within a short drive. And it's, you know, frankly, you know, if you tell me that, oh, fast food is too far away and you get to walk through it here, well, NoBrainCon for 5 years was in downtown Eau Claire. Where there is no fast food.
There isn't, really.
There is not. Yeah. So
you had like maybe 5 restaurants that you could go to.
Yeah, so it's not really any worse than the other options.
But Trey.
Yes, I'm handsome.
You are.
I'm also handsome.
My whole thing is that I mean you have the same again. Daisho Con's already in the Dells.
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Daisho Con's also in November.
That's fine.
It's the other side of the calendar, dude.
What? Like, okay, so that gives people 4 months to save up for a room.
Yeah.
Well, okay, that's fair. But yeah, also at the same time, how is No Brand Con going to staff this convention? Because I went to Daisho Con last year, and when I bought a badge, I had to buy a badge at Daisho Con last year. I went to the to Reg. They were begging me to volunteer.
Stop hitting the table.
I'm sorry. they were begging me to volunteer. No Brand Con is staffed by maybe 25 individuals. The rest is volunteer.
Yeah.
How are you going to get 40 volunteers? You need 40 to 50 volunteers. Plus, or 40 to 50 staffers,
well,
plus volunteers.
It is going to be a challenge, and they're going to have
to. That's tough.
They're going to. Okay, so no.
It's going to be a mess.
No, it's not.
It's
I don't
not
think
necessarily
it will.
I would say Daisho may have been asking, but they've made it work.
Daisho Con worked with what they had because they had three weeks to work with what they had. Okay?
Yeah,
they had 3 weeks to work with it.
Year, but they've been at the Kalahari for years now.
I know things.
Sorry, I'm
so.
It's a terrible idea to move to the Dells.
Well, okay,
that's
so what I'm saying for volunteer wise is first off, No Brand Con can do lots of things. They can organize shuttling. They can rent hotel rooms for available volunteers. And I'm telling.
But
you,
are they going to?
Well, they have the choice, and hopefully they will, because I happen to know that their venue cost is significantly reduced at the Chula Vista by literally...
As somebody that worked, that was a hotel liaison for No Brand Con last year, yes, that's true.
It's a five-digit number change
yeah.
price for the convention.
It's nuts.
So, like, when we talk about, like, how...
Price reduction, it's low.
Like, yeah, so it's a bigger space, and a much so they could... Potentially, and this is just theoretically, I have not discussed this with No Brand Con staff, and frankly, the convention director who will be in charge for that year has not been elected yet. So we don't know. The person who will be in charge of making this decision...
It's going to be the same person.
Well, it's not going to be...
My call right now.
It's not going to be Andrew Hiss because he said he's not running again.
He said that last year.
Well...
Exactly.
Thank you. Well, but my point is,
and it won't be me because I won't do it again.
My point is that I want to make it clear that this is a hypothetical, and I'm not speaking for the convention or like based on of any information I know from inside the organization. But the fact is, they have money in the budget to, frankly, get like 10 hotel rooms and still pay way, you know, and you know, rent a bus, you know, and so I'm not. God hope they will. All right.
My actual question is simply this. I mean, No Brand Con is actually a big thing here in Eau Claire.
Yeah. You know, why don't you come over here and just say this into this nice little microphone? God. Folks at home, we've got a microphone just for... actually, here, let me...
Okay, so my actual simple concern is, I mean, how is this going to affect Eau Claire? You guys have actually bring quite a bit of tourism here. We have a lot of things going on that are changing the scope and scape of Eau Claire. And with you moving to the Dells, you're actually taking away a fairly substantial event.
Oh, no,
that's a great closing ceremony question,
that's
sir.
That's a great question for No Brand Con.
And it's going to be awful because, you know what? I was like I said, I was co-contractor for 2 years. I was hotel liaison for a year. This event brings in about $250,000 to $300,000 to the Eau Claire economy every year.
Yeah, tourist revenue. Yeah, no, it's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
It is a huge impact that's lost for Eau Claire, and that sucks because it's honestly. The Plaza's been a rising cost for No Brand Con.
Did they even work with the Plaza, though, is my question.
I know they've attempted to negotiate a lower cost.
Because the year that I was hotel liaison, I managed to get this year at a pretty decent cost.
Yeah, but it's still a much higher rate than what the convention used to pay, even here. When we first made the transition, and the fact is that ever since the old Ramada, which soon to be reopened as the Lismore, shut down, the Plaza has been able to raise the rates without any competition.
It's the only show in town.
But that's the thing. I mean, like at the rate that it's growing, it needs to move. I mean, like that's just.
And then I'll let you ask something afterwards, Langland. Okay, I just want to follow up on. Sorry.
Okay, so my follow-up question is this, then. Because we actually have two other convention centers here in Eau Claire. We have the one that's going to be, I think you said, Lismore downtown, which used to be the Rebel Otter.
You know, they're not going to reopen all the meeting rooms. So okay. There would not be enough space at the reopened Lismore for
And have you considered maybe negotiating with Action City? Because they actually have...
Oh, boy, have they ever. It's not big enough.
It's not big enough.
Okay. Not big enough.
It's here. I haven't been Condor. I haven't been involved in staff for years, and I will tell you that these are places... Like, Action City is one that I definitely went and dug into and explored because I was part of the decision to move from the Ramada to the Plaza. So when we made that move, we literally explored every event. And actually, this move with the Dells is they also went on an exploratory search for other spaces. At least
it started
that,
actually about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I was part of that. We went back to the Ramada when I was co-director. And we went back, and it took all of 5 minutes before we saw that two rooms were literally torn up and blocked off before we said, we can't do this.
Yeah.
The old video game room at the Ramada, when we, back in 2013.
No Brain Con 10 was in 2011. That was last year at the Ramada.
We went back in 2013 to look for options for 2014. Yeah. The entire video game room from years past had been bricked off.
All right, so
yeah.
So I'm gonna let Langland talk, and then we can
we should move on.
Mine's more like just a comment with it, kind of where I came from. Like you say, like people come from the Twin Cities. Well, actually, I came way up from like by Superior. About
yeah, that's
an hour
right.
South.
You're pretty far away.
Well, here's the thing: is what kind of makes me kind of sad with this is that I'm actually looking at moving towards like the Rice Lake area, which is a little bit closer to Eau Claire, about 40 minutes roughly.
But there's a lot more big feet there.
Yeah.
Bigfoots. Big feet. Whatever.
Don't get distracted by the drunk guy, Langland.
Okay. Don't worry, Kyle Durb only got raped by Bigfoot once.
Okay, that's a word we don't use on this podcast.
Sorry.
We never mentioned Durb.
Okay. All right, kind of in my... Okay. So in my comment, what I was just trying to get to is... What kind of makes me sad is the fact that...
Dirty ice.
That now that I'm looking at moving closer to Eau Claire...
Yeah.
Well, like closer, like not there, but like the idea is though that the fact that where I'd be moving now, the Dells would be like 3 hours away, and with the addition with like the cost and all that, which I understand all that.
Yeah,
it's just kind of saddening because there's been people like me who've been going here since, well, I've been going here since 2005, and I was 16 then, and this has been kind of like the thing I've tried to make time to come make it. Like I've missed Die Show actually twice now. But No Brand is like the one I've tried to make, and that's why I'm saying it might affect my future visits. I'll try to make next year. I will do my best. But it might mean I might have to stop coming eventually if things get kind of out of hand with the cost.
I hear you, Langland. Yeah. I hear you.
And then let's
keep Capito, and then we got
to
move
on,
to
Iceman.
Iceman. Iceman.
Ice?
Why are you holding my mic stand?
Well, it was falling, and I didn't want to drop it on the table again. Here, I'll hand it to you safely. I guess I should probably offer my own disclaimer that I used to be the convention director for DeisroCon, which is the convention that moved to the Kalahari, Wisconsin Dells. And I guess a comment before my question, I guess when we talked to conventions in Wisconsin Dells area, they had a long lead-in time before you could actually, they would say, we talked to the Chula Vista and other hotels, and they would say that you might have to book a while in advance, which I imagine could probably have had an effect on No Brand. I can't say that for certain, of not just thinking about how many people you have this year, but the year ahead of that when you're trying to figure this stuff out, and when you have all these convention centers that are building... possibly building. Maybe we'll have something bigger, but you have to think so many years in advance and whether or not it will be complete at that time.
Right.
And I personally like this decision. I think it's Wisconsin Dells is a cool area to go to. It's closer to me.
What? Well, a former con director of DeisroCon thinks it's a good idea to hold a convention in the Wisconsin Dells?
To be fair, it's not like the plaza has been bulldozed 3 weeks before the convention.
I'm just saying.
But to equally be fair, they stayed there. This entire cast, Fur's entire outlook is still, well, Daisho just moved to the Kalahari, I guess.
But
they've been there for years, dude.
But
it's not changing.
It works, but there's talk that Nobran Khan will come back to Eau Claire eventually.
How about this? Well, check it out in November. See if you like it. right. Anyways, but yeah, I do like it. I just want to say I like the area. I usually fly into Madison, which is why it's closer for me.
You're one of those West Coast types.
One of those West Coast types. But I guess a question I've been hearing
Deigning
from other
land
people.
And fly over country.
I try not to, but I make exceptions. But I guess a question that could be asked is why Wisconsin Dells, and are there any other areas that you could have moved to?
Wisconsin Dells. Okay, so again, this is all why. You know, this is conjecture.
I like that. Hold on. These are all questions that could have been asked at closing ceremonies through actual staffers.
Can I point out that none of us are actual staffers of NoBrandCon? But I can say
I have never been a staffer at NoBrand. I want to make a point of that.
So I know that the reason why, at least, it was the decision when I was, because this was we had the discussion back when I was con director for NoBrandCon 8. The reason why the Dells were chosen was because the two best options for moving the convention from Eau Claire with a staff still based in Eau Claire were either the Twin Cities or the Wisconsin Dells. Also, La Crosse was discussed. The Twin Cities were right out because NoBrandCon is determined to be Wisconsin's premier. It's the frickin' slogan. Like, we'd have to make new bumper stickers. Secondly, La Crosse is just... Okay, so the reason why the Dells is chosen over La Crosse is because the Dells has far more convention space around the city. And so if you're forced to relocate cities, you don't want to do that more than you have to. So if assuming that Eau Claire never got a bigger convention space...
It will.
That if forced to, like, say, move from the Chula Vista in 5 years, because NoBrandCon can't stay anywhere longer than 5 years...
It's like me during my
check
childhood.
Check Wikipedia,
okay.
add up the history. It's every 5 years they move. Moving from one end of the Wisconsin Dells to the other end of the Wisconsin Dells is much easier to do and would be much less of a PR mess than moving to Wausau. Yeah. Where conventions go to die.
Well, to be fair,
it's sad because it's true.
Although, let's be honest, we've got to move on. But you right there, you. This gives you an opportunity to open a convention in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Just you,
just you.
And we're only right. Because of the mustache.
Because of you, there's literally nothing now in the western or northern parts of Wisconsin.
Well. Or we could. Anyways, moving on to the next.
It's you. On. You're moving on.
Job. Moving on. Muting Fur's microphone if I have to.
I will not.
All right, so moving on to something completely unrelated to effectively running closing ceremonies for NoBrandCon during Nerd and Tie Live. Iceman's gay.
Yeah. No, like seriously.
No, like canonically.
Like canonically.
Homosexual. Officially, okay. So,
how does Rogue feel about that?
Well, that's just the movies. So that's not Earth 616. We're talking 616.
Yeah, 616.
We're talking 616. Real Marvel universe.
One of the two Marvel universes that matter.
Yes.
Still something weird about that, though.
I will talk about this. You will let me give the story. We let you talk when we let you talk. So, all right. So. This last week, and it was leaked a day early in an issue of All New X-Men, Brian Bendis wrote a scene in which he revealed that Bobby Drake, Iceman, is gay. And
yeah, yes.
It's now, for long-term fans of the X-Men, this is a, well, duh, because... They've been hinting at it since, like, 1997.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not news. Now... And yes, that means that any of his relationships with women, he was closeted while in those relationships. And if you've ever, like, Yeah, people like to pretend in fiction that, like, every gay person, like, immediately, like, was comfortable with coming out and was, like...
Or bisexual or pansexual.
Yeah, well, but, like...
Any queer individual, really.
Like, that they knew immediately, then that they it didn't take them time to become comfortable with it. Because, frankly, we live in a society that kind of, you know, doesn't support that. So it's entirely plausible. It makes a lot of sense that the character arc of Bobby Drake, and frankly, again, it's been heavily hinted since the 90s.
Well, it especially makes sense with him being a mutant because, I mean, he already is a quote-unquote unacceptable member of society. So then another thing that would make him an outsider, that's awful.
The only good part of X-Men 3 was, well, can you try to stop being a mutant?
X-Men 2.
X-Men 2, whatever, I don't care.
The good one.
That's from one of the good ones.
Yeah. Can you stop being a mutant?
Yeah, it's but it does mean that both Ashmores have now played gay dudes. Aaron Ashmore played Jinx on Warehouse 13, who was a homosexual DEA agent. All right, and Sean Ashmore played Bobby Drake in the X-Men movies. They are twins. They are different people.
Are they really?
Yeah, if the show's got a budget, they get Sean. If they don't have a budget, they get Aaron. If it's shot in L.A., it's Sean. If it's shot in Vancouver, it's Aaron.
So, wait, which one was it?
Although...
That's not, like, seriously, if you look at their IMDb pages, you will see a ton of, like, Lost Girl and...
Wait a minute, but Trey, what if it really is just the same guy? He's saying that he has a twin, and he's taking jobs that don't pay the Screen Actors Guild. Because, because Steve Bloom, the voice actor Steve Bloom does that. That's why on half the stuff he's in, it's like Roger Smith or David Lucas, because they don't pay Screen Actors Guild wages, so he makes a fake name so he can still get the job. This is hurt. This happens.
Animorph, I think that was actually, that might have been.
You mean the live action Animorph series that was great?
That might have actually been.
And then he started the better movie called Frozen, which is about three college students trapped at a ski lift.
Let it go.
Let it go.
It was amazing.
There are wolves at the bottom.
Such a great movie.
The two Frozens, the only thing better than that are the two Jack Frosts, which are both about snowmen who come to life. Very different films.
Both are terrifying.
They came out within, like, a year of each other.
There were three, actually, but one was in the 70s, and it was riffed by Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Well, right, no, but...
But we're talking about the Dennis Quaid version.
Okay, so...
Versus the version where a snowman kills a lot of people.
Man, Michael Keaton made weird choices.
Jesus, Jesus, how did we get from Iceman being gay to this?
I forgot the subject of ice.
There we go.
That's a step forward, I guess. All right.
So Nick, why don't you save us by taking on the next story?
Next up is a.
Can I make one more comment about Iceman?
No.
Oh, yes, you can. Yes, right, you can. Fine. Make your damn comment.
The more queer characters we have in comics, the better.
Yes.
Yes. Well, like, I agree.
Thank you.
Especially someone as notable as one of the original X-Men.
I wish he would have come out on his own terms.
Yeah. No. That's part of all new X-Men's shitty Jean Grey.
Yeah.
That's a whole other issue.
But a lot of issues that gay people have faced, queer individuals have faced, have been other people outing them.
Yeah, no, that's bullshit.
But it's great that we have him, another queer character.
Yeah. So did you have something you wanted to say, Minda?
There's a weird thing about this.
Then say it in... No, you come to the microphone.
We're not coming to you. I can hardly walk right now.
Okay, so here's the weird thing about Iceman coming out. X-Men is currently in the middle of a storyline where, for reasons that escape me at the moment, they basically pulled the original team of X-Men out of the 60s and into present day.
Yeah.
And it's only 60s-era Iceman that's come out. Present-day Iceman continues to insist that he's straight.
But, he's just closeted.
Maybe, but like no, we don't that, really. Well, but we assume that that's how that's going to play out, but it hasn't played out yet.
That's word of the current writers.
Yeah, It's
so
that's
word of writers.
So it's like there's still that hanging up in the air, is what I'm saying. Is that I agree that it's good that we're having more diversity in comics, but I'm just saying that there's still up in the air that issue of the present day Iceman remaining in the closet or possibly straight because of
he's not straight.
God knows. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we can assume that, but
Brian Michael Bendis isn't that bad a writer. Come on,
there is that. Bendis is
Gabe. Get over it.
I know. I'm fine.
He's here. He's queer. Get used to it.
Oh, I'm totally used to it. Let's do it.
And he'll turn you into ice.
There. Yeah.
Don't put it in that.
Okay.
Because that's been broken down to go away. Hand me the microphone, Linda.
Out of context. That's out.
I'm turning the microphone off.
It's okay. He's in control.
Dear Lord. All right. So,
by the way, nothing will make you run 3 miles better like the he's in control line. And also, I'm slightly drunk.
All right.
Nothing will, make you run 3 miles faster than watching The Dark Knight at the gym while you're running on the treadmill.
People who normally listen to this podcast who did not come to No Brand Con, we apologize if you expected a normal-ish episode. Every other live episode we've done has been mostly normal. But we've turned it into a No Brand Con former staff Q&A about a decision not made by us.
I have never been staff for this event.
And we've also then like done all this is a weird episode. Why don't you make it less weird?
All right, okay, yeah, I'm taking taking control.
Muting right. For
so all right.
I'm not.
They both came into this expecting to do
stop talking.
I turned Fur's microphone off for real that time.
All right, so in a weird piece of nerd news, Paramount wants to develop a TV series based on their classic sci-fi adventures of an intrepid crew brought together by a quest for discovery. We are, of course, talking about Galaxy Quest.
Right?
Galaxy Quest.
Yeah! Alan Rickman's best film.
Galaxy Quest is legit.
Tim Allen's only good film.
Yeah.
Where you can see his face. I'm not going to talk bad about Toy Story.
Galaxy Quest is one of my favorite movies ever. I think it is a nigh-perfect movie. It fixes the Star Trek even.
Never give up!
Never surrender!
It's like the third best Star Trek movie.
It really is. Also, it fixes the even odd theory.
Yeah, oh
it
my God,
fixes
it does.
The even odd theory.
It's also the only good Star Trek movie not directed by Nicholas Meyer.
Yeah, yeah. It's
I like some of the other ones. It's just Nicholas Meyer made the best ones. And if you don't know which ones he made...
Wrath of Khan.
IMDb, my God.
And Undiscovered Country.
2 and 6.
You know, the great ones. So, yeah, this movie is damn near perfect. There's not a bit of fat on it. Every scene means something. Every character, every line matters. And I'm honestly kind of thinking, why would you make a continuation of this?
Yeah, well, also...
What is the point?
Also, okay, well, here's the thing. Only two of those actors are available for TV money.
And it ain't Sigourney Weaver.
And Tim Allen, who is one of them, has a show...
Wait, he does?
Does he?
Really?
Yeah, it's a really bad sitcom.
Narrow it down.
It's called Last Man Standing. Not to be confused with Last Man on Earth, which is actually good.
Okay.
And then the actor who played Laredo is on one of the NCIS's.
Because of course he is.
He's on the New Orleans one with Archer, I think.
Okay.
Not... Animated Archer, Captain Archer.
Yeah. Although that would be a really
oh my God. I would watch CSI with both Archer
NCIS.
From Archer. NCIS with both Archer and Scott Bakula would be great. I would watch that in a heartbeat. Oh boy.
I would just watch a H. John Benjamin Scott Bakula buddy cop movie.
Yes. Oh my God. Why is that not happening? Someone get working on that right now. I like both of those ideas more than making
Paramount,
a Galaxy
Sony,
Quest TV
we know
show.
You listen. Get
Archer.
On it.
Get on.
I Sony, just, stop Archer. Giving Adam Sandler money. And
Archer!
But guys, really, what would you do with this show? Like, there's not... What would they do? Go back right. into space?
Hey, what is it? TV actors in space again.
Again.
Yeah. All right. Guy who looks like everybody's GM.
I've heard worse things.
Well, they did kind of set it up at the end of the movie, just literally make the show.
Right, except it's, well...
Except it's Star Trek.
They don't want to do that because that would just be Star Trek.
And when was the last time we had a last good Star Trek series?
If Paramount gave a
Star Trek...
And Voyager does 11? Not count.
Actually, Voyager I thought was decent. Enterprise actually really holds up on rewatch. There's some weak points in season 3, but it overall is actually much better than people remember.
It's season just, 4 you know what,
okay,
is really
so
good.
Here's what the problem... Okay, season so Voyager... Four. Yeah. Voyager and Enterprise had two problems. Well, one problem. Voyager and Enterprise had one problem. It had to follow Deep Space Nine. And it's also, frankly...
I had two problems.
Okay, and... so I'm a big fan of Captain Janeway, so you want to say it to my face?
I think I would argue that Voyager and Enterprise had two problems. Their names are Rick Berman and Brannon Braga.
I'm going to get very quiet now because I'm serious. Because I model my life after Captain Janeway.
You know, my favorite.
If you're going to make fun of Captain Janeway, how come I'm the only one who's.
Mike,
I'm the one who likes her. And
Mike Nelson was my favorite Captain Janeway.
He was actually pretty good at it.
Oh,
Voyager was once on a few decades ago. It was called Lost in Space.
Voyager.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I will watch Threshold. I will watch Threshold rather than watch
the Star
any
Trek
episode of Lost in Space. Because watching Lost in Space is about as fun as having someone rip your toenails off with a pair Let's, of, I don't know.
You know, I really like Lost in
are
Space.
Are you guys familiar with the Voltaire song, the USS Make Up, where he talks about the Voyager, where he says, now I'm on a starship, and it's called Voyager. Basically, it was way back in the 60s, and we called it Lost in Space.
That was the Jupiter 2.
No one. The point
I
is,
liked Lost in Space a lot as a kid. It's
I
a great
too,
show for eight-year-olds.
But as an adult, I would rather watch the worst episodes of every... I would rather
marathon... You ever watch the Lost in Space movie from the 90s?
Oh,
Matt LeBlanc? Oldman is Dr. Smith.
I would rather marathon TNG Season 1 in one sitting than watch the Lost
I've
in Space
done that.
Movie.
There are two things... So Voyager...
Yeah, it is.
I'll say, actually, Voyager is good after Deep Space Nine ended and all those writers all got jobs on Voyager.
Pretty much, yeah.
Because before that, there were two episodes which should never be spoken aloud in polite company.
I have the first season.
I already brought it up, though.
He brought up one, Threshold, also known as the Lizard Babies episode.
Oh, my God, that one.
The other episode is Tuvix. They murdered Tuvix.
But more importantly,
why did the damn fabric patterns merge?
Because
that, why were the seams perfect on that outfit?
Well, keep in mind, this is a show.
No transporter accident has had that good a tailor before.
this was a series put together by people who were like, we want to make a likable character. So they came up with Neelix, and they gave us a hedgehog wearing carpet sampler.
I like Neelix.
I assume you don't like doctors.
What's wrong with the doctor?
Robert Picardo's the best part of that show.
We all remember the Beowulf.
A rising tide raises all boats.
The best episode from Robert Picardo. Let's be honest.
All right, I've met Robert Picardo. Anyways,
he seems cool.
We should move on. We should move on.
The point is, the Galaxy Quest TV show is a terrible idea.
Yeah, Galaxy
that
Quest
actually is a terrible
is
idea.
Is a genuinely terrible idea.
I don't know. I just have an issue with something that was based on the idea that a TV show was considered to be real life by a group of aliens, and then you turn around and make that a new TV show. I don't know.
What you gotta do is make a sitcom about when they were still making the TV
Only if Tim Allen is playing Tool Time Tim.
Yeah. Okay, so let's remember, though, with this Galaxy Quest, this is all still in early development stages. There are no definite details about the series.
It's not going
to
happen.
And it may not even make it to pilot, let alone past pilot. Capito, why are you raising your damn hand?
I have an idea for how we can save it.
No.
Too bad.
He wanted to tell us how to save it. We wanted to say no. It is 11:15. So
there is a way to never let it see the light of day.
There you go.
Moving on to the letters.
We got handwritten letters.
We're going to start out with the person who followed the described procedure from the podcast. We got mail because we move on to our mailbag every episode, and our first letter, which came again the real way that you're supposed to send contact to us, comes from Paul Langland, whose voice you earlier heard on the podcast.
You have to use my full name.
You wrote Paul Langland as your name. He just complained about me using his full name, but that's what he typed.
Oh, shit. I must be drunk.
All right. Subject, no
there can be
on.
Only one.
Hey, guys, how's it going? It's going fine, Mike.
It's okay.
Not bad.
Are you enjoying No Brand Con? Well, yes, I am, Langley. Since I know you're reading this at the con, mine in front of you, I wanted to write and say, hey, you're right there. Unless you completely snubbed me and post this on another installment. No. Anyways.
We had hot dogs together. We're not going to snub you.
Anyways, I bet I probably somewhere... watching you. You need to... English lessons, my friend.
Isn't it...
There's
weird,
you need
right?
a verb in that sentence.
Here's the thing.
Somewhere watching you guys...
I usually read your letters, Langland, so it's fun to watch Trey do it for a change.
Anyways, I'm gonna fix your grammar. Anyways, I bet I am probably somewhere watching you guys read this. Yes, you're right there. And hopefully I have a cool tie on, I guess.
It's lighting up. That's pretty tight.
But like, that makes it... But light emits the heat and therefore not cool. Anyways, if I don't then I suck. It's cool enough to so you don't suck. So I hope you guys have a great weekend. Why thank you. Your buddy Langland.
What was your question?
he wanted to know if we were having a great no brand.
Yeah, it's fine.
So it's yeah, it's
bad.
Good. It's good.
It's Friday. We're doing all right.
Nick, how are we doing this? Do you want to go first or should I?
Sure, I'll okay,
you pick one and then
this
go.
This is from an anonymous sender. Dear Nerd and Ty.
These are handwritten, by the way.
Yeah, these are
literally handed to us this weekend. Normally, we only accept letters submitted through the official website form because, you know, we can log those and read them.
We have two for one person, but one was handed written in cursive, and it was given to me, and I said, Nick, I'm too awesome to do this. So I gave it to Nick.
All right. First off, we have one from an anonymous sender. Dear Nerd and Ty, Mary Frack Kill.
Oh, what?
The Hulk, Captain America, Iron Man.
What?
Oh man.
I discovered we have another letter, by the way.
Okay,
good.
I'll read it after you guys
read it. Obviously, Mary Captain America, Iron Man for Frack, and I don't want the Hulk anywhere near me in that regard, so kill. Obvious answer.
Mary Captain America, Frack the Hulk. Don't you judge me. God, I you don't know me. And kill Iron Man.
Actually, I'm going to have to go with Mary Captain America, Frack the Hulk, and kill Iron Man because then I could take his suit.
Oh,
there you go.
Good thinking.
That happened recently in an episode of the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
I'd have to kill Iron Man first so I could frack the Hulk.
Get the Hulkbuster armor. There you go.
That's what I'm saying.
Busting
the Hulkbuster right on. There you go. If you know what I mean.
What is wrong with all of us?
That went to terrible places.
I got a letter. Hey, Nerds and Ties.
No.
Long-time listener, first-time writer. My question for the panel is, who would win in a fight? Gardening Ninja or Daisho Ninja or Michelangelo from TMNT?
Well,
thank you, Scott Scottington.
Can I start off by saying, as the person who plays the Gardening Ninja, not the Gardening Ninja, because the Gardening Ninja has never...
She's delightful.
The Gardening Ninja's a guy. That's me.
I was seeing Daisho Ninja.
Right, also, also that leads to which Daisho Ninja, because it's canonically established there's several.
Original Daisho Ninja.
Original Daisho Ninja.
Is delightful, versus, and she would win.
Okay, so definitely not Gardening Ninja, only because Gardening Ninja has only
claimed... Doesn't actually have ninja skills.
No, he has none. And
he got kidnapped by a robot, for God's sake.
Well, it's also the joke is that he's never actually been seen gardening nor being a ninja, so it just doesn't. He's an administrator.
Also, there was that one year that Executron managed to kidnap the Gardening Ninja and convince the entire Nobrand heroes that he was, in fact, Gardening Ninja. So what does that say about Gardening Ninja?
What does it say about any of them?
And as an assistant writer for the DaishoCon story, I can confirm that the original Daisho Ninja did kill at least one person. It happened in the expanded universe.
Well,
he killed at least one person.
Well, and then there's the question.
At DaishoCon too?
No.
Well, not canonically.
Not canonically.
Then there's also the issue, though, of which Michelangelo are we talking about?
The Matt Hill one.
Well, when was Corey Feldman in?
Matt Hill was Raphael.
Well, Corey Feldman was Donatello.
Yeah, right. Which one is he in?
The movie universe? The original movie continuity?
Never mind. That Michelangelo wouldn't win.
That Michelangelo... Okay, so the only reason Michelangelo's got a shot is because...
He is a party dude.
He is a party dude. But more importantly, like, I mean, if you go, like, Michael Bay Michelangelo, there's a whole lot more, like, invulnerability.
Oh, God, yeah, he'd be hard to beat.
Yeah, he'd be hard to kill.
Crap.
So, if you go cartoon, I don't think the animators would ever... You see, here's the thing, is Michelangelo lives in a continuity where most Michelangelos live in a continuity where you can't kill him. Not all of them, but most of them do.
That's true.
So if she's against any of those Michelangelos, Michelangelo wins. If he's not, if we're in a continuity where Michelangelo can be killed, the Daisho Ninja wins only because there's more than one of them. And therefore, they outnumber Michelangelo by definition. Because remember, ninja is plural.
Plus, the Daisho Ninja is actually delightful. So
right. So the Daisho Ninja would win.
Daisho Ninja wins.
Yeah.
That works.
Trey, you've got another online letter for us.
I do, actually. First starts out with, it's from Slithery D.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Regular writer. And he tried to win the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge and got it so wrong, I won't tell you what he guessed. And so then he writes, so I watched the video stream of your podcast for the first time ever. And Trey, I have to ask, is your podcast sponsored by empty Diet Coke bottles? Okay, so... The one time every other episode I've made sure that there's like nothing, like there's no like empty Coke bottles or anything on screen. The one time I come back from a convention and I'm too tired. We don't have a video right now, so no one can tell that I'm holding. The one time
5,000 watchers right now in this audience, Trey.
The one time I don't remember to get like the couple of bottles from when I was working on Friday, like off the thing, is the one episode he tunes into. Jackass. All right. Also, will we ever get a Blake 7 home release in the U.S.?
No.
Nope. No.
Why?
We can't get an Invisible Man Season 2 release in the U.S. of the Sci-Fi Channel series, and that actually has viewers. And it's sad, man. I want to watch that season.
Nick, next letter.
I heard Blake 7 was good. That makes sense. All right. This appears to have come from Ken Burns' Civil War. Dearest nerds and ties.
Wait.
As you can
make sure of this letter. Let,
dearest nerds and ties, as you can tell from the cursive, I am a lover of the classics. seeing a lot of the great new shows, Steven Universe, Last Airbender, Gravity Falls, etc., reminded me of a lot of the great shows of yesteryear. Dexter's Lab, Johnny Quest, SWAT Cats, etc. My question for the panel is, what do you like, dislike about the old school, and what do you like, dislike about the new school? Sincerely, ye old D. Archimedes.
Was that the actual Civil War, like,
I was hoping it was the do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
What's it called? No, I played an orchestra back in the day.
No, it was a song off of one of my albums. But I only had so much music in front of me.
To answer a question, I think that there is, to give a serious answer to the question, though, as someone who recently got into Steven Universe especially, I feel like American cartoons are really going out and trying to do some really interesting, some really mature things. And I think it says a lot that we have shows like Steven Universe and Legend of Korra that are so willing to explore different character types and also different gender definitions and sexuality.
Well, it's awesome to have queer characters.
Well, yes.
Yes.
We don't have a lot of time.
Well, technically, there's nothing in here for like a half hour after this.
Oh, okay.
So
well,
if we go over, we're fine because I'm literally running the event after this.
Okay. Okay. But I mean, we get this representation, and it's so interesting that these shows that are meant for a family audience are willing to tackle these issues. Well, the showrunner for shows like Constantine say they're not ready to show John as a bisexual. Like, it's frustrating, but also really encouraging that we are raising a younger generation to be more broad-minded and hopefully better people. That's...
Yeah.
Whereas Johnny Quest is actually kind of racist, so...
Super racist.
Literally nothing made me happier than seeing Korra take Asami's hand and say, should we explore it together? Like, that was cool.
Yeah.
As an openly pansexual individual, that was cool to see a queer character.
We are living in a cool era right
It's amazing. Now. And then the fact that Steven Universe has three moms. Three.
He has a lot of moms. It might not really be.
He also is his mom.
He also is his own mom. Also, his mom split and can become larger and smaller moms. Or they split and combine.
It's awesome. Watch Steven Universe. Do it.
Right. Like, after this show, go watch Steven Universe. I'm not even kidding. Go watch Steven Universe. It's one of the best shows on TV.
Pause the podcast right now. Go watch a whole bunch of Steven Universe. Then finish the podcast.
Then
we're going to stop. We're going to give you 30 seconds. Go watch all Steven Universe.
We'll wait.
All right.
So. How you doing, Bert?
Not bad.
I think they're still watching Steven Universe.
It's hitting me pretty hard right now. All the martinis I have.
Really?
They might be.
I don't know why the audience has started singing the Jeopardy theme.
You can't hear Steven Universe over the Jeopardy theme. Watch Steven Universe.
Okay. Right. Welcome back, everybody, from watching. Wasn't that good? All right. Anyway.
You're in time for another letter. Also from Archimedes.
What? Wait. This time, the way you should read it is...
like Jack Palance.
No.
Character actor.
No, this one...
From
this
City one, Slickers.
Read it sexy.
Oh, yeah. Are you not aware that I'm reading this straight? I can't do.
I can. If you want me to, I can do my best voice. Come on, you can do it for. Oh yeah.
Hey, nerd and ties and live audience.
Oh yeah.
Haven't written in a while, so I thought I'd keep it simple tonight.
He's keeping it simple, baby.
Oh yeah. What is your favorite color? What is your favorite no brand memory?
Oh yeah.
Signed, Archimedes.
Your favorite memory.
Let's make some real memories tonight.
My favorite color is green, and my favorite memory, despite the fact that it put my life in danger, was literally from last year. When I was floor managing, and I was talking to the main hotel guy.
He
asked me, hey, how is your night going? And I said,
how's your night?
it's doing just fine.
Oh, yeah.
And then someone came up running to me and said, there's a guy with a knife over there. He's going to take care of that. And I chased after that guy with the knife.
So...
And he vanished.
Guys with
knives. And later I was told that he fell down the hill behind the Plaza Hotel and broke his leg in like five places.
Oh, yeah. Aww. Five places, baby.
Five old breaks.
And I felt pretty good.
Yeah.
Because I chased down a guy with a knife.
So my favorite memory comes from many years ago.
What are we listening to? What is this?
You see, Nobre and Khan was back at the Ramada in downtown Eau Claire.
The Ramada, baby.
Oh,
there
yeah.
There was a parking
going downtown
ramp and parking structure attached to the building.
I remember this.
Publicly used by most of downtown businesses.
Most of downtown's coming, baby.
All of downtown.
And some foolish men were running around with their fake guns.
Oh, yeah.
Running with some fake
guns. You know
guns.
They weren't real, baby.
No way.
No, they were fake. But an old couple coming home from dinner.
Oh, yeah, they ate lobster, baby.
And what they did was call the police.
Yeah, the SWAT team showed up.
And a SWAT team with their automatic weapons drawn.
Oh,
their riot gear in hand.
Oh, yeah.
Arrived and slammed those damn fools' head against the hood of the car.
Take that, Solid Snake.
And this, my friends, is why you do not run around in public with realistic weaponry. Because you're going to get hit by a fucking SWAT team.
Yay, Trey dropped our F-bomb for this episode.
Blam.
He's not the awesome
he
one
said
tonight.
Fuck.
And also, my favorite color is plaid, according to someone who I spoke to earlier today. And that would be DJ Dirty Ice. That's really funny if you know what I'm talking about.
Right?
DJ
Nick.
Dirty Ice.
Nick, what's your favorite?
My favorite color.
Your favorite color, Nick?
My favorite color is brown.
Brown.
What the
brown
hell?
I like your eyes.
Brown is a lovely color.
Like your eyes.
I don't know. I can see why I'm so enraptured by you, Nick.
My favorite.
Right, here we go.
My favorite No Brand Gun
memory. Oh, his favorite memory.
Is super sappy.
Super
oh,
sappy, y'all. So sappy.
Sappy, baby, like your hair.
What, back at No Brand, the last, back at No Brand 2010.
2010.
2010, back in the day.
I was given the death slot, the worst slot ever to do.
Oh,
first
no one was
on
there.
Friday, baby.
First
ain't
panel on Friday.
Ain't nobody there.
I was running late,
just you and
I barely got to the con on time.
He
barely
pulled out just
con
in time.
On time. Pulled
and,
in just in time, baby.
And I ran in to do my Gundam panel wearing a Code Geass costume.
Oh.
Nothing else?
People, nothing else. Nothing but the Code Geass.
And a young lady in a Team Rocket uniform
told me, baby.
That is the absolute wrong costume for the Gundam panel.
Oh, baby, you doing it wrong. Help, let me help you do it right.
And it's 2014 now.
What the
and
fuck is going on?
It's 2014 now, and that
I thought
same.
It was 2010.
And that same woman who I just talked about is my fiance.
It's 2015 now.
That's
Nick is unaware of what year it is because he just.
Oh, Nick's asking for a Nick's asking for a paddling.
He is unaware of the current date and time because he's too busy spending it with you, baby.
So that's my true No Brand story.
Wow, Nick blew us out of the water. Jesus.
Mine wasn't about anyone almost getting killed. No.
I was going to say, both of our stories involved someone almost dying.
I almost got stabbed to death.
And this dude almost got shot by a SWAT team.
Someone got stabbed, someone got shot. I got married, I guess.
They got married. Well... Trey, we have time to read the Hall of Awesome, but we're not going to do a Vomit at Steve challenge,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're gonna skip the Vomit at Steve challenge for this episode because
we did it last week and nobody, none of you answered it.
Well,
no,
Southern he tried and failed.
Tried.
It was disgusting how bad he failed.
Yeah, no, it was bad. But we're going to stick with that book. But I forgot it, so I can't read another sentence. So for those of you who aren't aware, the Vomit at Steve Challenge is where every episode we read a line out of a book, and the challenge to you is to guess what it is. If you guess it right, you get included in the Hall of Awesome. The benefits of the Hall of Awesome are as follows. One, you get your name listed on the website. Two, you get your name read aloud every regular episode of the podcast.
Every regular.
And three...
Every regular.
Nothing else. Well, we don't do it on specials.
Right.
Well, we no, and which we're going to try and have a special next weekend.
Right. But What it is that since but you don't get anything else. We just read your name because you're awesome. We are not going to read a line from the book this episode because of two things. One, I forgot it. Two, if I had remembered it, it's a
Trey,
hard copy book, and you'd all see it.
Trey, I have a book on my iPad. We can do it.
That's nice for you. Anyways, the current people are currently in the Hall of Awesome.
Currently. Subject to change, apparently. Everything is subject to change.
Anyway,
thank you, the Claw.
Yeah, that's Doctor.
This is Doctor Claw. This is Soundwave.
All right, so
what's Executron?
The same voice.
Executron is just Soundwave with a little more variation.
So the following people are in the Hall of Awesome: Archimide, Zero, Rena Innocenti, Cheesy McDamn, Krista, Slithery D, Shameless Otaku, The Random Ramblings Man, Corfan, Capito, Chris Graham, and Lily Soros.
I'd like to point out that all three of our, like all of our significant others, are in the Hall of Awesome now. Thank you, Lily.
You know,
for actually caring.
Man, is it really going to be awkward for you if you ever break up and I'm reading her name every 2 weeks? So don't screw this up, or else it's going
to
be really
bad
for you.
I'll try not to. She's pretty great.
It could have been one of the other two,
but they didn't give a shit about Nerd and Ty, so never mind.
Oh, yeah. But we're going to be happy. We've got about 5 more minutes before we're going to hit stop on the recording.
Questions
from you, the audience, and if you have one, come
get
up near
here
the
right
goddamn microphone
now.
So we can
Trey, can
hear
I drop
you.
An F-bomb?
We're Go right show. Ahead. We're going to get
Come you. Up here right fucking now.
That's your limit.
Okay.
Yes, Cavsy. Cavsy, everybody.
Hello.
Hey.
Shut up. Ask questions.
Yes. I think it was like yesterday or today that I saw news on the website that Adam Sandler had a bunch of people walk off his set for...
Adam Sandler, yes.
Oh, my God,
I've
yes.
I've never heard of Adam Sandler, but Adam Sandler, yes, did have that happen.
I'm very tired, and the No Mercy Room has melted my mind.
I don't blame you. Yeah, no, that's true. A bunch of... this was kind of a... And you really wouldn't expect it for anybody else other than Adam Sandler.
I would say Adam Sandler, that pinnacle of society's awfulness.
Of course, Adam Sandler has a contract for 4 Netflix-exclusive movies. The one he's working on right now is called The Ridiculous Six. And at least 15 Native American actors walked off the set of the movie because he thought it would be a really great idea to make fun of a group of people that have been subject to discrimination and genocide for the past 200 years, like a lot of white people do. So what I'm saying is Adam Sandler is an awful human being and
shouldn't be working
and
anymore.
Shouldn't be doing on anything because he's terrible.
Can we have him edited out of pictures?
Well, his last few movies, I mean, like, you can't necessarily prove it, but you could make a pretty good argument that he might have been
a racist piece of shit.
Well, I was going to say that he might have been getting money from a studio to go dick around and then turned in whatever piece of shit he had with the leftover
money. Pretty much.
Well, he's been doing that ever since that remote control movie.
Yeah.
But I feel bad because, like, I'm a little excited. I want to see Pixels, and he's going to be in it.
Don't support anything Adam Sandler does.
I will.
How about instead of Pixels, watch the episode of Futurama Anthology of Interest Part 2, where Fry gets recruited to become to save the world because he's a video game expert. Watch that episode of Futurama instead rather than Pixels. You watched it. You can't unwatch it. Tales of Interest.
All right. Do we have any other questions?
We got time.
We got time. We got your mind. We got your pants.
I don't think so.
We've got, in fact, we've got the ability to creepily play the song that Fur can't recognize because I wrote it.
All around me, everywhere, familiar places, worn-out faces, nobody faces.
All right, hey, so there is one bit of nerd news we can cover. So issue 1 of Captain America White is coming out in September.
What the fuck?
And I picked up issue 0 of this series in 2007, and issue one is just now coming out.
Trey, can you play that song?
No.
Oh, wait. Okay, so let me load up the
song. It is just now coming out. Issue zero came out 7 years ago.
7 years ago,
so
baby.
So Trey's done a cover of Shake It Off to a slow type beat. Trey, I got this play that song.
Okay, I'm going to leave now.
Just play that song.
Oh, no. Do you want Shake It Off?
No. Play that song you were playing. I got an idea.
Oh, because...
Play it again.
I can literally...
No, Trey, I've got an idea.
That's
play
okay.
that one again.
I was just going to leave if you started that, because I'm hungry.
Nice to meet you where you've been. I can show you incredible things.
These do not match at all.
No, they don't. I tried.
That song's actually okay.
Blank Space isn't bad.
Yeah, that's
pretty
good.
That
I don't hate.
It's not bad. Anyway, folks... We are Nerd and Ty.
Oh.
We should probably wrap this up.
Hey, I've got to open up the end theme.
Wait a minute. We closed the show with me saying something almost
positive
not bad about Taylor Swift. So there we
Sailor,
go.
Sailor Swift.
Sailor Tift. That Sailor Tift was when she was a bad guy from
so
the final season of Sailor
So, guys, this
Moon.
Has been another live episode of Nerd and Ty. And we are so glad everybody was here. We are going to be back next weekend. We're all going to go see Age of Ultron, and we're going to talk about it. And it's going to be a huge episode, so be there for that. But if you like us, subscribe to us on Stitcher or iTunes. Rate, review us. Let us know how good we are, how bad we are, or what you had for lunch today and how that ties in.
And please remember, we always want your feedback. Please go to nerdandtie.com and click on the contact form. Tell us what you think, who you are, why you're wearing those pants today, because you really shouldn't have.
Lang one's in a power stance right now. I dig it. Anyway.
So I'm Trey Dorn.
I'm Professor Ver.
And I'm Sailor Easy Me.
Keep on spocking in the free world.
Keep on spocking in the free world.
We'll see you in the league for Age of Ultron. Yeah. Work it.
Everybody remember, it. Our end theme comes from a Harry Potter fanfic. It's Harry Potter and I'm a Scream.
That's right.
Yeah.